Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Level Up Human, the comedy science podcast, souping up the Homo sapien. Hello, humans. Welcome to another episode of Level Up Human Extra, where we look into the headlines and look at what science is doing right now and how it might prepare it for the future. I'm your host, Simon Watt, and I'm also joined by producer Rachel.
Hello. We are very excited today because, yes, very,
okay.
Very excited.
If you tell me, fine.
I can't contain my excitement about one of the items we have to talk about today. We're going to talk about lots of things. Mobilising the body's immune system to fight cancer.
Yes.
One piece of knowledge to hand down to the apocalypse survivors.
Ooh.
Won't be me, but let's see what that's going to be. I've got a laundry folding robot.
Oh, come on. You can't just mention that now and gloss over.
Laundry folding robot. Well, I mean, you know, inevitably, I just bring the stupid robot stories along, I'm afraid. And flying cars.
Okay, where should we start then?
Flying car. No, we shouldn't start there. We should start with something proper and serious.
Some actual news rather than made-up Jetsons fantasies.
So, go on, you start. You bring the actual real thing.
Well, I suppose the one that makes me happy is that we've got a new treatment against brain cancer. That is fantastic news. And the new treatment might be something a bit like the flu. Now, brain cancers are cells that are proliferating with nothing fighting against them. And what these injections of a mild flu-like virus do is these retroviruses will attack cells that are reproducing quickly, such as cancers.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, by marking them up, your body recognizes the cancer cells. Because that's the tricky thing with cancer, is it's insidious, it hides. Because it is made up of your own cells, your body is not very good at identifying it. But your body is good at finding viruses and things. So it's another way of getting our immune system to kind of kick-started. It basically says, oi, these cells got something going on, attack them now.
So the flu virus is very good at identifying cells which are multiplying quickly and attacks them. And then your body goes, hang on, there's something going on here.
A little bit. It's not flu itself, but something a bit like flu. It's a common virus. And this is not a new technique. They've been recently doing research into Zika and trying to inject that directly into some brain tumor cells to help kill them off during surgery. And it's not good enough. It's not one of those things that will ever completely cure cancer. But if used alongside chemotherapy, radiotherapy, other treatments, it'll hopefully, you know, enhance survival rates or at least give people a bit longer.
That's a good bit of positive news to kick off.
Yeah, that's a happy beginning again for 2018 whenever we're feeling, oh, I still feel like I've been kicked in the stomach by last year and the rest of time until now.
Yeah. Let's not dive into a pit of despair too early in the podcast.
Well, I've told you about cancer treatments. Tell me something about these flying cars.
Well, we are at the white paper stage of flying cars, admittedly, so I'm getting ahead of myself. But there are 15 startups at the moment which are working on flying cars. Over half of them are American.
Okay.
They have over $300 million in funding between them, which isn't a lot, to be honest, in the grand scheme of things. But they are definitely gaining visibility and they are working on real world solutions to some of the problems facing flying cars. Like, for example, vertical takeoff and landing is a big problem. Controlling the airspace is going to be a significant problem. But I think basically we're going to see over the next 10 to 15 years loads of stuff about drones flying around and crashing into each other and crashing into buildings and killing people. That'll all happen. And at some point they'll realise that there needs to be some very serious overhaul of the way that we govern the air, based on the fact that very soon there are going to be these little hovercraft / electric jet engine planes flying around everywhere. We're not really talking about flying cars in that you're driving along and then you press a button and your car just takes off the motorway and flies into the air. Yeah. It's more like you go to the top floor of a building and there's a helipad on the roof, but there are...
So it's a helicopter.
5 or 6 helicopter-like things which you can get in and go somewhere really quickly, which is pretty cool. In itself. And even Uber have a very swanky video on their website of their Elevate project, which is essentially that you will go up to the top of a building, get in a little plane and fly somewhere, which is all very, I mean, it's all very beautiful. And it's all very sepia tinged, kind of like this business lady goes up and gets in the Uber and then goes home to her daughter. And that's not.
I feel that I can taste the vomit in my mouth at this very minute from the saccharine.
Anybody's experience of Uber, is it? It's like what they should have a picture of is a man off his tits on Smirnoff ices, like vomiting out of the window of a biplane.
That'll be the downside, won't it? Because we're now talking like high velocity vomit plummeting round us all on a Friday night.
Yeah.
As the drunks go home.
And you're going to have a very good Uber rating to be allowed to get in a flying car, is all I can say.
Why is this a good thing? Go on, tell me more. Because this is one of those sort of things, isn't it, that we've always thought that was going to be the future, you know? This has been in every sci-fi movie, right the way back to movies being invented, as these flying...
I think it is undisputably going to happen in not as many years as you might think. 20 years, maybe, there will be flying cars actually available to buy.
I don't.
Okay.
I think there's some major flaws still of this entire thing, which is mainly that humans weigh quite a lot. Like, we're heavy cargo. Mm. Like, the thing which has made drones so fantastic is that all the kit that goes into a drone has got lighter and lighter and lighter and lighter, and basically the software which allows you to keep things stable has got, you know,
well, you say that, but
we don't get smaller.
The biggest one of these 15 startup companies is called Lilium, and it's a German avionics company. Is that the right word? But they've just done their first maiden flight. So it's a 2-person electric jet plane, and it's successfully managed to take people a short distance.
Yeah, but you're just telling me again that helicopters exist here. Like, what's the...
Well, no, but when we say flying cars, it is going to be helicopters and hovercraft type things and little planes. It's not actually flying cars in the Jetsons way.
Yeah, but the bit we're talking about really amounts to a change in the regulation. It's the thing of airspace and the like.
Airspace. Well, that's really the issue, I think, is having lots and lots and lots of small airplanes in the sky rather than actually can we create... It's not so much the technology as the logistics, I think, that's going to be the major problem. But they will sort it.
I don't want them in the sky. I like
you don't
clouds.
You don't want anything in the sky. You basically want to go back to living in caves, poking a stick into a fire.
When would you have ever said that before? I think we found like the one issue where I'm not for progress, because I don't see this one as progress.
That's true. You do want to live forever, which is absolutely nuts. So.
Because also this is not going to ever be like a public transport thing, is it? This is just one of those sort of, well, okay, rather than making trains work and having an eco-friendly, good way of getting masses of people around, let's have more tiny little private enterprise.
No, because there are going to be ones which act more like a bus.
An actual Airbus.
And Airbus are investing heavily in this technology, as are Toyota. So there are some proper companies behind it. It's not just crazy startups that you've never heard of. And the electric jet is going to clean up the airspace.
The thing which will make, which I'm getting, where I'm really arguing with you here, I suppose, is that what makes a sky car, is that it's something you can hop in and go off wherever you like. So the thing which makes planes different, of course, is they've got their own routes, they've got their own timetables, they've got things that are agreed, they've mm-hmm. got places to land, they've got places to take off from. Mm. Whereas the car, other than sticking to the road, you're free to go at any time anywhere.
I mean, this is exactly the argument that would have been made when the first petrol car came on the market back in insert date. You would know that sort of thing. Come on, pub quiz. When?
What's the question?
When was the first car?
Oh, no idea.
Okay. When the first car companies were just starting to produce cars and most people still travelled by horse-drawn transportation, right?
Yes.
People would have said, well, this is absolutely nuts. There is no way that the horse-drawn society is going to change. We are not all going to suddenly be jetting off everywhere in petrol-driven cars. You are nuts.
No, I think you missed my point, which is that they use the same roads. The infrastructure for the car was already in existence because of the coach. The infrastructure for these flying ones
was not metal roads were not available everywhere.
Yes, like with metal roads
M4,
we have now.
What do you know? Metal. When I say metal roads, I mean metal roads like tarmac.
Is tarmac metal? Is this a thing?
Here is where my very confident statement goes off the rails. You talk about metalled roads.
I've never heard that phrase before.
Are ones
my life.
With tarmac on.
Are you serious?
I am serious. I may also be wrong.
I'm going to have to look this up.
You look that up. I'll metal drink road. Some tea.
But you know what? Google is saying this exists. Applying gravel or metalling has two distinct uses in road surfing. It's gravel.
Normally I would edit this sort of thing out, but because it conclusively proves that you're wrong, I'm going to leave it in.
Hey, it hasn't proved you right either here, if we're going to be like that.
It has, because we're talking about metalled roads, which are a thing.
Yeah, that well-known metal, gravel. What?
It's called metal. I didn't say it was made of metal. I said it's called metalling.
Applying gravel or metalling has two distinct usages in road surfacing. This is too boring for me to continue reading.
Well,
I want to stop there and just take it like you're right.
Okay.
Actually, it's derived from the Latin metallum, which means both mine and quarry. So metals are, I guess, from the Latin meaning from a quarry.
Thank you very much.
Wow.
So back when there weren't very many cars, people would have said, we can't have cars on the roads. That would be completely insane. They're going to go too fast. They're going to kill people. And admittedly, you know, to start with, I'm sure that was the case and a lot of people died. And I worry, actually, about the initial attempts to control the logistics of many, many, many small vehicles in the air, including drones, because you can imagine that the bad accidents that are going to happen and the enormous amount of processing power that it takes to control the amount of helicopters that there are in the air over London, for example, at the moment. What we are going to have is enormous amounts of infrastructure controlling the airways. And it may even be the case that you shouldn't be allowed to have self-driving flying cars, that they all have to be controlled so that they are all controlled all at once.
You're not going to need your self-driving, you're not going to need your sky car license.
You'll have to have a different license. You'll have to have a different license, absolutely.
If it's not driven by you, surely you don't need a license. Actually, that's one of those things we've never mentioned in our AI car discussions, is that at last you don't need a license to drive.
Correct, yeah.
Cool.
You won't. But your car will need to be licensed, will it?
Yeah, because it'll probably have to patch into a network so it knows where everything else is as well.
Yes, exactly. So that's the thing. You see, this is the interesting thing, is having a system where all parts of the system know where each other are, which may be what we have when driverless cars are the norm. And so therefore, maybe what we have when driverless flying cars are the norm. Anyway, I think this is going to happen and it's very, very exciting. So I'm going to be following the 15 startups and let's see what happens. There's going to be lots of mergers. It's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah, exciting. Mergers. Yeah.
Mergers. Okay. I know I get too excited about technology companies and I get obsessed with...
You love the corporate end, don't you?
Yeah, I do, actually. Yeah, I do. I don't know why, because I don't...
You've got a crush on Elon Musk.
I've got a crush on Elon Musk. I've got a crush on... I tell you what, I don't have a crush on Jeff Bezos, right? But I do have an absolute obsession with the crest of his company... Blue Origin. Look up the company crest of the company Blue Origin. It's owned by Jeff Bezos, who owns Amazon. Its Latin motto is Graditum Ferociter, which means step by step ferociously. And it features two rampant tortoises reaching up to the solar system.
Okay, it's got these two tortoises standing kind of like Ninja Turtles, I suppose, gesturing up towards the sky. Yeah, those well-known flying creatures, the tortoise.
It's all from the Aesop's fable, though, isn't it? The tortoise and the hare. So what Jeff Bezos is basically saying is that he is going to ferociously, systematically make steps towards first suborbital space travel and then proper space travel. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if this company is one of the ones that ends up with developing some of this. When you say, tell me what the benefits are, the benefits are walking through town, going into a skyscraper, going up to the top floor, getting a helicopter and getting to my dad's house in Norfolk in 10 minutes without having to check into an airport and get dropped.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Drinking a Wetherspoons for 2 hours.
Okay, until everybody else is doing it as well. Nope, don't like it. Fine.
Excellent. Well, that's good. We came to a conclusion of that. Right, next. Laundry folding robots.
Oh, go on.
Whoop. So, the great thing about robotics advancing really super quickly is how little housework I'm going to have to do when I'm old, because we're going to have laundry folding robots which are going to fold up all the clothes, put them away for me. I've already got the robot Hoover. Essentially, I am now on gin and tonics for the next 50 years.
This is making the word robot very apt, because I know it comes from the Czech word robota, meaning slave, more or less. So you're taking like domestic slave to a whole new...
Yeah.
You just like that. Hence also your robotic Hoover that you already have, your slave Alexa who plays all your music. You're just waiting for folding as the next
one. I just like not having to do housework.
I'm with you there,
I've got podcasts to edit, man. I've got other stuff to do.
So we're all going to have folding robots?
I suppose the thing you've got to imagine is, imagine the dishwasher.
Oh yeah, I'm all for it. I'm not against this one. I'm just amazed that we're talking...
It's not going to be interesting. This isn't interesting, okay? It's not interesting. It's just the fact that that's just going to be what you have, is laundry folding robots, dishwasher, washing machine, tumble dryer, robot cleaner.
Yeah, but I brought a story about a new cure for cancer, and you brought a story about...
All right, fine. Let's move on to one piece of knowledge to hand down to the apocalypse survivors then, in that case, if you want serious.
This is an opinion one, actually. So our Twitter followers and things, please get in touch. What would you pass on to the next generation? I think it's simple, personally.
It's not the next generation. It's the apocalypse survivors.
It is the next generation.
Okay. Genuinely, it is the next generation. Okay, so the apocalypse has happened. We've got a small band of humans who are going to repopulate the Earth if they survive. And what we want to know, Simon Watt, is what one piece of scientific information, or any information, would you like to give them?
This is, okay, this is a personal thing, isn't it? And I very much agree with Donnie Darko, if you've ever seen that film. And it was something I thought beforehand. Because they ask this very same question, and it's, use soap, like the... stopping the spread of contagious disease and infectious disease by washing our hands has probably had the biggest effect on saving lives of anything we've ever done. The understanding of germ theory is probably also one of those bits of knowledge which then leads you to a better understanding that there's a microscopic world that you can't see. Mm. Yeah, so I think germ theory, personally.
I mean, even if I could just tell my kids that would be quite useful.
can tell them, can you make them actually do it?
They're not interested in doing it. They're just like, why should I do that? Because of germs. I haven't got any germs. They're really small. I can't see them. The number of times I've had this argument with them, it's just like, will you just wash your hands?
But if you break them and you instill the paranoia, you'll turn them into hired youths. You know hired youths?
You'll have to explain that.
Do you know hired youths? The pioneering aviator guy?
This is one of those things. This is yet another void in my knowledge. Go on, tell me.
He was one of the world's richest men. He was a pioneer, very much an Elon Musk of his day. To many degrees.
I fancy him already.
He was played by Leonardo DiCaprio in a film, if that makes you fancy him more or less.
Okay.
Anyhow.
He just
died as a recluse, convinced that he couldn't leave his house because of germs everywhere.
Oh, so what you're saying... Oh, I see, right, okay.
So you can either make your children not die of a basic strep infection or something by washing their hands, or you can turn them into paranoid freaks.
Right, okay, so there's a middle ground there somewhere where I get them to wash their hands, but not obsessively.
Yes.
Okay, fine. Well, that's what I'm going for. That's very much my parenting philosophy, is like get them somewhere in the middle ground between disgusting and reclusive. So, good. I like that. I like how simple it is. Use soap.
Oh, I've got another one. This is a very British one. You know, you'll like this.
Go on.
Drink tea.
Yes.
Partly because it'll help them get over the crisis that is the end of the world.
Assuming there's any tea left. Well, or a functioning...
That would be a nightmare scenario, wouldn't
it? Sort of situation where you can boil water.
Well, that's the whole point, is there is several arguments that perhaps drinking of things like tea and making beer and whatnot also really advanced our species because we were boiling our water. But come on, what's your advice if you're going to be pass on one bit of information?
I mean, the chances of me actually being one of those survivors are so small that I just don't think I'm the one. I'm not going to be the fittest character out there.
The thing is, if you survive, then you're taking a whole bunch of information with you. So it's like you're sending, you've got one tweet to the next.
Well, you're absolutely right that the very concept, the conceit of this is flawed because you're assuming that the apocalypse survivors have no memory.
Yeah.
Which, of course, they do. Oh, by the way, I might be a super recogniser.
You might be one.
Yeah, I think so.
You've been doing Julia Shaw's test, haven't you?
Except that I haven't done it yet. And the people who think that they're super recognizers generally aren't. So I might not be.
Well, come on, explain what a super recognizer
is. Well, so there's a thing where there are people who are extremely good at recognizing faces.
Yes.
Now, I consider myself to have a superpower in this situation in that I can recognize people and know that I've met them before for definite.
Yes.
You know, when you have those conversations with people where they're like, have we met before? I'm always like, no, we haven't. And I know we haven't, or I definitely know that we have. And also I can track actors like throughout loads of programs. And I'm always like, that was the guy out of this thing.
Yeah.
I think my face recognition is just good, right?
Yes.
But, and apparently there is an actual thing called super recognizers, which is humans who are particularly good at this.
Yeah.
However, it did say in the article that the people who think that they are super recognizers generally aren't. But they're apparently very useful and can be used by the police to, you know, we're not at a stage yet where AI can do this reliably. People, these super recognizer people, can pick out people in crowds.
Yes.
In a way that computers so far can't, and can be used by the police to look at, like, you know, riots or pick out people who might be interesting for terrorism-related reasons. I don't know.
You're interesting for terrorism reasons. I just like the phrase of interesting with that.
Well,
that seems to work well.
You know what I mean.
Would you like to come on our talk show?
I can just imagine that what they've got is this online test, Are You a Super Recognizer? Which I should really have done before talking about it, but I just haven't. I've been, you know, doing the folding that I have to do before I get my laundry folding robot. So you can do this test online. Are you a super recognizer? And if you are, you might be able to help with tasks like this that the police need doing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I quite like the idea of being paid to go into the MI5 building and just look at footage and go, it's definitely, absolutely 100% is Mark Heap.
Wow.
For example.
Do you know, I'm kind of similar in terms of, like, I've not done the test. I'm not even going to claim to be a super recognizer, but I'm I'm at least reasonably good at it. Mm. Like, names are a completely different thing, but recognizing people. My wife, by contrast, cannot tell who's been in what film ever.
Well, this is what Julia Shaw says in the article that she was actually describing, was the fact that she is really, really close to being, to actually having a problem in that she generally doesn't recognize anybody
yes.
from before. Whereas I don't have that at all. I'm like, no, I know who I've met. Absolutely. If I saw their face, I would know whether I'd met them before. I'm not good at joining the names up with people, but then that's different.
I wonder if there's the same thing with voices, because those would be two very, very different parts of the brain. So I know in the case of this visual one that you're talking about, the people who seem to have an enhanced ability at recognizing faces basically treat whole faces as a new object, so to speak.
Mm.
Whereas people who are particularly bad at it are effectively treating like the eyes and the nose and all the different bits that make up a face as sort of separate entities. So it's kind of like if you see a new face, you've learned a whole new thing.
That's a completely lunatic way to look at somebody. Why would you do that?
Well, it's what we do anyway. Like, actually, one of the reasons why we're so good at telling people apart, even if they're closely related, is because our brains are particularly adept at looking for micro differences in that triangle that links up our eyes and our nose.
Mm-hmm.
But I bet you in that case, you could well be a bad facial recognizer, but you still might have a thing for voices. I bet that's an entirely different system.
Possibly. I think I'm quite good at that as well, but that's 15 years
You're
working
ultra
in the
sociable.
Radio industry. No, that's just listening to adverts and going, oh, that's that bloke again. See, I can't even remember the name of... What's that bloke out of The Office?
Ricky Gervais?
No, the other one.
The other one? You said Mark Heap earlier. He shows up in lots of
No, not
comedies.
Mark Heap. The other one. The He's one who was The Hobbit.
Oh, Martin Freeman.
See, I can't even remember. That's how bad I'm. Absolutely horrific at names. So Martin Freeman, who's like super famous, and I should have been able to remember like that. Couldn't remember his name, even though I can see his face.
Yeah.
But like, so I recognise people's voices on the radio because I try and work it out. It's like a little game I play, working out the voiceovers. You know, until Google takes over and does all the voiceovers.
Voice Shazam.
This is going to be the end of voiceover artists, I'm upset to say.
Yeah.
Is the fact that AIs can now recreate voices and do emotion and inflection stuff, which is more actually than people
How
can.
How will society function without actors?
Even on the tube the other day at King's Cross, I noticed that the PA announcements were being made by a robotic voice, which was all kind of like, you know, individual words which had been hooked up into a sentence, and it sounded ridiculous. I was like, can we not get somebody to actually just record the announcement, even just somebody who works here? I don't need it to be professionally done.
There's something even better. I would just like a real human to apologize rather than a machine.
Simon, I'm sorry.
No, for the trains. Not well, actually, you've probably got enough. What have you done?
I just apologize.
You're guilty
for
conscious,
everything.
Right?
I've now cleared myself of everything. Anyway. What else do we have to...
No, come on, we're not finished with this, because I've got a... So you're talking about the facial recognition thing. I'm not a super one, but I'm definitely enough to freak several people out.
This is what it said in the article, was that the people who have this super recognising thing have to tone it down in order not to completely terrify people. And I have done that on several occasions. I'd be like, oh yeah, Northern Line 2005.
I told a guy once that we had met before, and he said, no, we haven't. I'm sure we haven't. I said, yeah, you were wearing a Napalm Death t-shirt. He's longer hair at the time.
This is exactly what I do. And it's really scary because I've only recently worked out not to say things like that to people.
I've got some kind of the opposite, if you want, as a good story in terms of our understanding our past DNA rather than just our future one. So basically, very recently, they dug up an Alaskan infant. And this DNA tells the story of some of the first ever Americans. So this remains are 11,500 years old, thereabouts, from an infant girl. And they pretty much say that the native peoples of America are coming across from Siberia around about that time, which goes to show that President Trump is just reaffirming connections to Russia right now, trying to make America Russian again.
That's nice. When you say our ancestor, how do we know that's our ancestor and not just a...
Well, it's not our ancestor because we're here in the UK. This is ancestor to the first people to arrive in America. Now, the question is also like, how many times have people arrived in America? We know like some Norse folk got there a long time ago. The Vikings were there before Columbus. So there's been a couple of wee influxes, but the majority of Native American DNA seems to be descended from Northern Siberian DNA.
Interesting. Have we got any gigs we want to talk about?
All right. If you're in Sheffield on the 1st of February, head off to see their FameLab regional heat. I'll be comparing and telling some jokes and things. How about you, Rich? What do you got coming up?
1st of February, I'm at the Freedom Fridge again. Hooray! And on the 8th. But then on the 17th of February, we are both going to be at Brighton Science Festival doing a show called Dead Talks, which is talks about obsolete scientific theory. So things that everybody used to think were true and actually turned out to be nonsense. 17th of February in the Salisbenny Theatre in Brighton. That's it for this week. If you've got any suggestions or stories you think we should cover, please tweet us at Level Up Human.
See you later.
Bye.
That was Level Up Human, hosted by Simon Watt, produced by Rachel Wheely, and supported by the Wellcome Trust. For more information, go to leveluphuman.com.
Want to know which Winnie the Pooh character saved lives? What woman was an opera-singing nun who stole a prince's girlfriend? And which guru from Tibet was actually an unemployed trustmaker from Devon? Then listen to the Zedlist Deadlist podcast with me, Izzy Lawrence, where I ask a load of guests to tell me about their favourite obscure person from history. Guests include Dan Carlin, Helen Zaltzman, Simon Watt, Griffiths Jones, Paul Sinha, Richard Herring, Zoe Lyons, John Ronson, and many, many more. Please visit zedlistdeadlist.com or Izzy, that is ISZI.com, for more details. Thank you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.